shingle, held only by frayed strands of ligament and ragged muscle. But it still walked. The impact sent the creature several drunken steps down the flank of the hill, but it miraculously maintained its balance, wobbling several more uneven strides before it finally tripped and fell, rolling to the bottom of the slope, coming to a stop against the rear wheel of one of the wags.
I owe you one, Riddler.
Ryan examined himself to make sure none of the suckers had actually broken his skin. Sometimes they carried a virulent infection that could possibly kill.
Yeah, man. You said something about these ugly mothers that can fire a noise. Seems like we've been doing enough blasting to bring them running for fucking miles around.
Right. Don't forget to collect your throwing knives, Jack, and reload that little magnum of yours.
Riddler's bike was the only machine in working order. It spluttered and protested at having to carry three on the road back to Snakefish. They left the other two wheel wags and the bodies where they'd fallen. As they pulled out onto the highway, Ryan glanced behind him and was sure that he saw signs of movement toward Death Valley, as if other stickies had been attracted by the noise and were coming to investigate. A lot of stickies. The loss of three Sekmen brought Norman Moat running to see Ryan. His breath smelled of whiskey, and his clothing was disheveled. It was late afternoon, and Ryan had just finished telling his colleagues about the attack of the stickies. Jack was upstairs, in his room, washing away the dirt and sweat of the encounter. Riddler had dropped them off at the renter room and gone to report to Zombie at their headquarters in the old Sierra Sunrise Park.
What the scale-blasted rad shit is all this, Carter?
Ryan didn't move from the chair in the lobby.
What's all what, Reverend?
Coil-bound stickies, chilling the last heroes. What do you know about it?
Moat's suit was crumpled, and there was a stain on the lapel of his jacket. He stood so close to Ryan that spittle was landing unpleasantly near him. The one-eyed man stood so suddenly that Moat stumbled backward, catching his heel on a worn place in the carpet and nearly falling.
Sir!
Ruby Raynor had been listening in to Ryan's story, and she rushed forward to help Reverend Moat.
Take care, Reverend Moat. Could have taken a nasty tumble there.
Are you sure you're okay, Reverend?
Hollow tooth, woman. I'm all right. Leave me be.
You were asking me what I knew about it. I'll tell you. Me and Jack were invited to go on a run to one of the drilling rigs toward Death Valley. We went along. They said they'd heard of stickies. They took us off the highway and we got ambushed. Seven of them. Three of your boys didn't make it.
And the stickies?
All chilled. But I'd swear I saw more coming out of the hills. Noise and gunfire brings them running, Reverend.
And that's it?
Yeah. Good of you to call by. Jack's fine, and so am I. Had my torn shirt sewed up by Mrs. Raynor there. That's it.
This is awful. First Azrael goes missing on us, and now this massacre of the innocents.
Ryan considered questioning the use of the word innocence to describe the two-wheel wag riders, but thought better of it.
It's a visitation!
That's just what it is, and we must do something about it. I must speak with Zombie about recruiting some more young men to the Colors, and then... perhaps it's time for another feeding. It has been many months since we... yes, yes indeed, a feeding. I shall go and consult with my consort, and with the apostolic apprentice on the matter.
Without even a farewell, he was gone, leaving the front door open so that a gust of warm, dusty air blew into the rooming house.
You guys can't appreciate how weird this is for me. I'm in a house built around 1890. My head tells me it's around the year 2000. My body tells me that the period of remission of the ALS is perhaps ending. I feel tired and sort of off balance. Then I see Hell's Angels, and I meet a snake as big as an SUV. But I'm still hanging in there. Oh, yeah. The stickies show up? Then this bullshit? A feeding? And you figure this is a fancy word to hide a human sacrifice? Holy shit, Ryan. I'm going to bed. I'll take a rain check on the supper. Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and find this is all some twisted nightmare. Good night.
Jack passed him in the doorway. The boy's hair was once again bleached clean, swimming around his lean shoulders.
The freezy tide?
Yeah.
What now, lover?
I don't know. Either we go or we stay. If we go, then we shouldn't waste time. First light tomorrow, before this feeding, before they find the dead snake. And before the big infight starts.
Could help.
You said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but now the odds have come down some. They lost 3 from 11. We get in first, preempt them.
Chill them.
before they chill us. Take out the bikers, and the moats fall with them. You can see that, Ryan.
Sure. Seven of us.
Six. Sorry, folks, but I was a peacenik then, and I have to be a peacenik now. Make it six of us in the killing bits. But this is crazy. We just got to this town. Sure, they're a touch mad about snakes, but it doesn't mean there's going to be a civil war. You can't kill people just because of something that might or might not happen.
I thought you'd gone to bed.
I did. But I had a feeling something like this was going to happen.
You travel with us, and you've got a voice, same as we all have. But in the end, this isn't a democracy, Rick. It's best you realize that.
I have lived long enough in the Deathlands to know that there is often a mortal imperative, and indeed a moral imperative, in chilling some people. Baron Teague and Court Strasser are instances that leap readily to my mind. But the putting down of a beast you know to be rabid, or a mindless creature, or some... I fear that I have somewhat lost the thread of my argument.
You're saying, don't jump before you've been looking good.
More or less, my dear, more or less what I meant to say.
Two votes against interfering.
Last hero's not fucked us, and Baron's not done nothing either.
Sounds like a third hand against. Christy, do we run, fight, or just stay?
Christy sat back in the overstuffed chair, booted feet crossed in front of her.
Nobody ever threw me a blaster and told me to run. I don't like running. But Mother Sonia always taught me you don't waste someone for no good reason. Moat might be the slime pit of the universe, but we haven't really seen much that earns him a 9 mil through the back of the neck. I say we stay a couple more days and keep the old glims open.
Lori stood, her blonde hair tied back in a bunch with a blue ribbon.
How about me? I say we just leave, not doing nothing for us.
Ryan shook his head, looking across the lobby at the armorer.
Five say, either go or hang on here and watch.
What do you say, Ryan? Christy's your woman. She'll go along with whatever you say.
Watch it, JB. You just better take some care. I go with Ryan because I want to and because he wants me to. You try and make me out like some fucking echo of his.
All right. Black dust.
JB took off his spectacles and began to polish the lenses.
I didn't mean that, Christy. Sorry. But you feel that way, Ryan?
I guess so. Baron seems friendly enough. Moats don't. I say we'll stay around Snakefish for a couple more days. Just watch and wait.
Supper was a subdued affair. Rick finally went up to bed without eating. JB didn't speak a single word during the entire meal, concentrating on finishing fast. He left the table as soon as he'd eaten his fill, muttering that he wanted to field strip his blasters. Lori and Doc were having one of their increasingly frequent, bickering rows, the girl sniping at the old man, badgering him, trying to elicit a response. But Doc kept his cool, smiling at Lori, managing to eventually shame her into being nice. Before the coffee arrived, she dragged him off to their room.
Make it up for being real bitching.
The main course had been ham, smoked over a slow fire, served with fat-dipped bread and roasted beans with chilies. Ruby served them watered milk as an accompaniment. Some small sour peaches were dessert, with a small jug of molasses to pour over them. Jack leaned back in his chair and loosened his belt.
Your manners are terrible.